It's just we got to get better. I guess you know it's and the thing is, as you go through the season, it gets harder to get better. I think you know I think we've talked about this together before. This idea of diminishing returns, which is really true, right? It's the law of diminishing returns, and you know the farther along the path you get, the more you improve, the harder you have to actually go way harder to improve a little bit. And so that's what we're trying to do right now.
How do you say your team has responded to the loss on Saturday and how they bounce back?
We'll see tomorrow. You know, I mean, we're going to know more about that tomorrow. Practice is just, I'm going to sound like, practice is, you know, I like the way we're practicing, but it doesn't really mean anything. I think everybody practices hard after a loss. It matters how well we can translate that into the game. And we took a little bit of step backwards against San Francisco in terms of the way we approached the game on both ends of the floor, especially the defensive end of the floor. And so the trick is, can we now make a jump and not just get back to where we were, but can we be a little bit better than we were before that? And that's our challenge. That's what we got to try and figure out if we can do.
What kind of effect does a full Marriott Center, or could a full Marriott Center, have on any of the upcoming games?
Well, I think it's an advantage. I think it's really an advantage. It's one of the things that makes this place special. And if our guys feel it, and it can be imposing. You know, it can get other teams excited, but I think in the end, it's really imposing. And the best thing about it is, I think, you know, all of us feel like we are in this together, right? And the fuller the gym is, the more people that are in it with us all together, and the more our guys feel that, and it has a real impact. So that's a big deal. It's a huge advantage we have, and we gotta you know, make use of it.
I know your analytics guy moved on in September. Have you been able to replace him? And also, how has that kind of affected your desire to use a lot of
analytics? Well, we crunch numbers to the point where it kind of gives you a headache, right? And then you kind of start going down a rabbit hole where you have all these numbers, and then you're wondering what to do about it, and you spend a lot of time really nervous about unintended consequences of chasing a particular number, right? That's where it gets complicated. But it's really important to us. I think it's a key to player development. I think it's a key to helping your team believe. I think when I was playing, it was just an environment where coaches could make guys believe just by sheer force of will, right? You had no choice because he was going to just destroy you. And now I think we need other tools, and I think this is a real tool to help guys really believe in their hearts about how to get where you're trying to go. So it's a field that we spend a lot of time in, and I don't know if it's too much, but we do border on a rabbit hole a lot, and that's probably where we should live, right?
So. Without giving away a game plan, can you just give me one example of where you use analytics?
Well, we've talked a lot about assist opportunities. It's really important. Recently in the last four games, we've been tracking dribbles per possession as a team, and also dribbles per possession as individuals relative to their points per possession, and gotten back some really interesting numbers in terms of the flow of our offense. One of the things that we've been talking a lot about, where we're trying to mess with the analytics, is seeing how we can manage transition against really, really explosive guards. I mean, everybody knows that's been a little bit of an issue for us against Gonzaga, against San Francisco. And so we've tried a couple of approaches. And so I don't know if the sample size is really is big enough to trust yet. But when you look at the numbers of kind of our first half versus our second half, and versus when we're taking everybody out of the glass to get five guys back versus sending two guys to the glass versus sending one guy to the glass first. You know, this week in practice, we actually on the raise started sending someone to the ball, right? So, we're fighting over the numbers right now because I'm not sure they're giving us exactly a clear picture, but we know that it's something we have to address. And so, you know, hopefully with through wins, we can get some more data, and it's going to give us a much clearer picture of how we can approach teams where that's an issue in the future, right? So that's just, I mean, we could talk about this for until all you guys went into a coma, right? But
Mark, I know you haven't played everybody yet, but is the West Coast Conference, top to bottom, even better than you expected it might be?
I don't know if it's better than I expected. I know it's a great league. It's a really good league. I mean, you think about it, I think two weeks ago already we had five teams or four teams with 15 wins. I don't know how many leagues have that, right? It's always been a good league, but you know, and you think about it, it's been a good league. People have thought about it as a really good league the last 4 weeks when we kind of felt like Pepperdine had slid a little bit out of the picture. Now they've fixed that in terms of league play. They're right in the mix, and they were supposed to be a top three, top four team. And so then you throw them back in the mix, and you think about it. I mean, all the teams in the league are good, but on any given night, Pepperdine can beat any. I mean, they should have beat Arizona at Arizona. Arizona's what, 10 now or 12? They should have beat them. Yeah, and they played so many teams tough in the non-conference. They just seemed like they just couldn't quite get over the hump. And Santa Clara is really clearly really good, and San Francisco is really good, and Pacific's already won big games, and they've won a lot of games. And you know, those are names that, you know, especially throwing Pacific in the mix, maybe a team we haven't included in that upper echelon, is just getting crowded, right? And that's what you want. I mean, it makes for a great league, and I do. I anticipate this league is going to continue to get better, and it's got this beautiful, unique niche that I think 5 years ago people might have looked at as a negative, where now people are, I think, are starting to say, you know what, there is actually something going on in this league that's problematic, that's really good. So I don't know if it's better than I expected, but it's a good league. If I said it was better than I expected, then I'd have to admit I was wrong, and I never admit that I was wrong. Go ahead.
You mentioned earlier in the season that every game is the biggest game of the year for you guys. What about tomorrow's matchup specifically makes this the biggest game of the year so far for you?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things. One is to stay in the mix in this conference, right? It's really important for us. Two is, you know, clearly our long-term goal of chasing as many opportunities as we can to have a chance to be in this tournament at the end of the year. And three is, you know, protecting our home court is really important. It's incredibly important. When you play in a competitive league, your home court becomes incredibly important. Four is a dangerous team, right? We're playing against a really explosive, isolation-oriented team coming off a loss against a team where they surprisingly just spent a lot of time in isolation in the second half, and we didn't manage it very well. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of reasons why this is really important.
Staying on the lines of Pepperdine,
yeah.
It's your first time facing them. What are one or two things about those guys that stands out to you, and how do you guys slow that down?
Well, first of all, Coach is incredible, right? I mean, what he's done in his career in his tenure is unbelievable, and I got so much respect for him. And he's a grinder too, right? In the summer, he works so hard, and he's a big time coach. And what he's accomplishing there in a short period is really extraordinary. And then they have really special talent, 1 through 5, starting, and it's a really interesting mix because they, you know, maybe the best point guard in the league, I don't know, but certainly statistically averaging 20 and 7.5 is crazy, right? And I think at a 37% usage rate, so you think about that for a point guard to be at like a 37, 38, 39% usage rate, that's incredible. Right, and you think about he's scoring 20 and 7.5 assists right there. He's counting for almost 40 points, right? And that's just directly. That's not hockey assists. It's not earning guys free throws. It's nothing else. So he accounts for a lot. He's clearly a huge problem, and he's clever on the defensive end, right? He's a charge guy. He's really functional that way. Their starting two is a freakish athlete who is probably their best defender on the team and knows his role and really takes it seriously. A young player who's going to become a really good player. 33, their starting three man is you know, shot 12 threes last game. Like, he's incredibly dangerous from the three-point line. As a JUCO player last year, he was the California player of the year in JUCO and scored a billion points, and he really believes he can shoot, and he's tough. He's a tough matchup, too, because he's not just a catch-and-shoot guy. He's a catch-and-shoot guy with a quick release that really raises up off the floor and has length to get shots over you. So you can think you're there, and you're not there. He's also pretty good off the ball. You know, Lorenzo's running some cute stuff for him where he punishes you for being in a lock and trail with a couple flares where he's rolling all the way around getting a layup, and he's dangerous. And then these brothers, the 4 and 5, is probably the best shooting 4 and 5 tandem in our league. They're both at 40% plus in league from the 3-point line. They're shooting a lot. And so, that causes problems for you, especially at the 5, when you have a 5 that really, really shoots it. And almost more than that, he's enjoying shot faking and a really hard drive. He's an explosive driver at only 6'6". So, that lineup causes a lot of problems, a lot of really concerning things. It's hard when you can, it's hard. It's a tough matchup when you have such a dominating presence to the point that kind of make every play as a 3-level scorer, is an unbelievable passer, is really, really physical, and then he's got a complimented cast around him, this veteran group of guys that can really make plays and score.
Anything else?
Coach, it seems this week like everybody's got kind of a Kobe story.
Yeah.
Somebody who went into the league around the same time as Kobe Bryant. Did you ever have any sort of interaction with him?
Yeah, I mean, we were in the same draft class, and he was a little bit closer towards the beginning of the draft class than I was. Just a couple, and I think that the one thing that I'll tell you, the best tribute to this Kobe Bryant right now, I think, is. It's fun to hear all these stories that nobody ever heard, right? Where he went out of his way to extend himself to people, and we all watched in awe of the things that he did on the court. It was really amazing. I mean, we're playing at Staples Center with the Milwaukee Bucks on a really good team, and we're winning the game. And this cat, he makes three straight possessions to put him back in the lead, and every shot got harder and harder. And it was like, it was the last one I'll never forget, because I was sitting right there on the bench watching it. And he's in a trap and he pivots twice and shoots a fadeaway where it basically lands in our laps, and to bang his third one. And so the things that he did on the court are extraordinary. But what's really, really, I think, a tribute to him, there's nobody that would understand not living a perfect life better than us here at BYU. We understand that, right? But it's heartwarming to just kind of hear all these stories where he quietly reached out to different people in different genres of life and tried to make an impact and make their lives a little bit different. That is that slice of legacy is hopefully going to continue to be bigger than his basketball legacy. And if that's the truth, then that's a pretty, there's some pretty great things in that life.
Mark, you played at Rupp Arena in college. It's a pretty special place. What were some of the maybe tougher places you played in on the road, and how can the Marriott Center kind of turn into maybe one of those kind of places?
We had a chance to play in a lot of tough arenas. I think that our student section is really special. When the student section is right and behind that basket, I don't know that there's when our student section is at its best, I'm not sure there's an equivalent out there. It's really special. I think the volume of the gym when you make a run is something that you recognize in gyms. There are certain places that people lose their minds when things start going well, and that actually has a huge impact on the game, a really big impact on the game. I've been in some special gyms that where the fans are incredibly salty. I'm not sure that necessarily is the way we roll here at BYU, but that can make gyms really, really special. I actually think about going back to. I was played with the Knicks, but going back there when I was with the Pacers, this is when the Knicks were really good, and how great Madison Square Garden was. Talk about a hostile crew. I always think about Philadelphia. That was the gym that was probably the hardest on their home team. You go to Philly, and except for the Allen Iverson years where there was such a love affair with him, man, you didn't need to get on the other team because their home fans were just killing them. It's pretty brutal. So I think the Marriott Center, one is this building continuing to be growing in terms of capacity. It makes it really special. I think we're probably 2 in the West still right now. Is that right? And that's an unbelievable. It has a huge impact. Just having energy in the gym, and hopefully we'll get to a point as a team where we're earning a packed house and where fans want to come in here and recognize the impact they have on the game. And then I think the Marriott Center becomes one of a handful, two, three, four gyms in America that can actually pull the weight that it does. I think it's an incredible place.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.